Welcome back in to Upon Further Review, Turn Left Thursday. Trevor Mader, Jacob Blair talking all things going on in the racing world. NASCAR at New Hampshire last week and headed to Kansas this week. Jacob, first off, you know, looking back at New Hampshire, if there's a track leading up to the championship race in the playoffs that'll kind of look like Phoenix, the thought is New Hampshire would be that. What did we learn? What did we take away from New Hampshire on Sunday?
I think that the biggest thing to take away is if you're the rest of the field, you want to keep the Penske cars out of the championship four. You kind of heard that from some of the drivers after the race, but Penske, the flatter short tracks, they just that's their bread and butter right now. That's where they have a ton of speed, and we saw that between Ryan Blaney and Joey Logano dominating the race. So, you know, if you're the rest of the field, you kind of want to keep them away from Phoenix if at all possible. But with, Ryan Blaney winning this race and showing a ton of speed and him being the best Penske car at other racetracks, I think Penske's probably going to get one there. And if a Penske car makes the championship four, that's probably your favorite to win the championship right now.
Yeah, and we saw in the round of 16 that, JGR cars were the cream of the crop, right? They swept the round. And then, I know they had their own problems, but they did not have the speed that Penske did. Was that a surprise, and how concerning is that?
It was a surprise to me that they weren't able to match Penske. It maybe wasn't a surprise that Penske's has speed at a track like this. We've seen that in the past, but, Christopher Bell has won this race 2 years in a row. Wasn't bad, but really was a non-factor. Denny Hamlin, Chase Briscoe, non-factors as well, kind of, back half of the top 10 most of the race. Briscoe finishes 10th, Hamlin ends up 12th. So when you're looking at, you get to this point of the season, you've got to make it through rounds, but you're also looking at, it's one race for the championship. Who's going to be good there? Who's going to struggle? If you're Penske, you like where you're at. If you can get a car to Phoenix, if you're Joe Gibbs Racing, you've got three cars that all are probably fast enough to make the championship four. It's just that type of track, or are you fast enough to beat the rest of your competitors? They were really the slowest of the three big teams, being Penske, Hendrick, and Gibbs. They were the slowest at this style of racetrack.
Yeah, my number one takeaway from Sunday was, okay, if Joey Logano gets to the championship four, he might have his fourth championship, because he had a really fast car. And like we talked about, the Penske cars were the cream of the crop with him, Blaney, and Josh Berry. Jacob, the big on-the-track story circulating from Sunday, as we mentioned, JGR cars, had their own issues. The most paramount of those was the incident between Denny Hamlin and Ty Gibbs. The JGR cars, I don't remember what point of the race it was. I think it was maybe middle of stage two or late stage one. They were all kind of in a pack, Ty Gibbs, Christopher Bell, and Denny Hamlin. You have Ty Gibbs, who's not in the playoff picture. You've got Christopher Bell and Denny Hamlin, who are in the playoffs racing for a championship. They were racing really aggressive, and Denny Hamlin felt that it was too aggressive for somebody who wasn't in the playoffs, and he ends up, wrecking Ty Gibbs. You can argue whether it was intentional or not. I think it was at the bare minimum to send a message. I guess, what does this mean for Gibbs going forward, and how, does this hinder Denny Hamlin's championship chases, the drama with him and Ty Gibbs now?
This is, something that we maybe won't be privy to or have an opportunity. We can talk about it all we want to know if it's fixed or not, know if it will hinder Denny Hamlin or not. We don't fully know what's going on behind closed doors in, the Gibbs Racing shop right now. We don't know what's happening. Denny Hamlin's fairly transparent with his podcasts and other things, but it just seems him and Ty Gibbs don't agree on this. And I think from the incident itself, it kind of goes both ways. I think, Denny Hamlin was in the wrong for, essentially shipping his teammate. I guess he wanted to prove a point. Point proven, I guess. But you're watching it, Ty Gibbs as well. You've got two of your playoff teammates faster behind you, and you're removing chicane in front of them. So, I get why Denny Hamlin did it. I don't think he should have, But if you're Ty Gibbs, this is where you've got three teammates that are faster than you, have been consistently faster than you. You're the worst car at Gibbs right now. Maybe moving all different lanes isn't the best thing to do. So this is where, as Denny Hamlin says, if Gibbs and Hamlin and that team don't want this to affect their chances moving forward, they all need to get in a room and hash this out between teammates. If that doesn't happen, this could end up, at least for Denny Hamlin, derailing a championship run, and maybe even for all of Gibbs, just with everyone being in the same area, gets them, off of the run that they've been on, and has them, now pointing in the wrong direction. It's kind of crazy how fast things can change, but that's racing. You go to different styles of racetracks, and now we're talking about Gibbs dominating, and now we're talking about, Denny Hamlin, maybe even the whole team, and what their playoff outlook is the rest of the way.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there could have been some more give and take from both sides, right? I mean, Denny Hamlin, he wrecked his teammate, and I don't know if it was intentional, but I don't think he meant to wreck him. I think he had the bare minimum meant to move him. And also, if you're Ty Gibbs, you're not really racing for anything. That was a point in the race as well, where I think Steve Letarte mentioned this. I don't remember what they were racing for. I think it was like 11th or 12th. If you're racing for second or third, late in the race, that's one thing. But where they were at in the race, it was, Ty Gibbs kind of being young, a young, immature driver that has a lot to learn. And that obviously created something that'll be worth keeping an eye on going forward. Ryan Blaney has clinched his spot into the round of eight thanks to his win at New Hampshire, his third win of the season. As I look at the playoff points right now, William Byron, 47 to the good with two races left in this round. Kyle Larson, 41. Christopher Bell, 29. Denny Hamlin, 27. Joey Logano, 24. Chase Elliott, 14. Chase Briscoe, 12. Ross Chastain, 12 out. Austin Cindric, 19 out. Tyler Reddick, 23 out. Bubba Wallace Jr., 27 out. Jacob, I like to do winners and losers for the first round of a playoff. I don't think it's any secret the 23-11 cars are probably the biggest losers. Aside from Ryan Blaney, who's the biggest winner among the playoff drivers?
For me, I think it's kind of easy, but William Byron, that team did not have a great first round. It wasn't good on speed. Kind of maybe Hendrick as a whole wasn't great on speed, and they all had, they weren't necessarily the fastest cars. We know Penske was there, but they were the second fastest team, in terms of speed. So to have a kind of correction of where Hendrick was heading, they kind of did the opposite of what the Gibbs team did. They kind of progressed, got some momentum back, and to be 47 up on the cut line is pretty big for that 24 team. So I think the 24 team, maybe even the five, are a pretty big winners, just having good solid days to get themselves in good points positions. But as you mentioned, 23-11, that kind of came as a little bit of a shock. Not that they were off. We saw all of Toyota was off a little bit, but that they were that much further behind even the Gibbs cars, and now are in a pretty dire situation heading into the last couple races of this round.
I think you could also make an argument that Joey Logano was maybe the biggest winner because now he's plus 24 above the cut line. The Roval has not been kind to him in years past. He's in a spot where he is sitting okay with two races to go. Not great, not locked in by any means, but not, having to make up a ton of ground. Looking ahead now, Jacob, headed to Kansas on Sunday. I mean, you and I are both very vocal about our love for the track and the racing that it's put on in years past. And we saw the single greatest finish in NASCAR history there a year ago or a year and a half ago. The fall race last year was a pretty straightforward race. It was entertaining if you were there, maybe not in person. And then or if you're there, maybe not on TV. And then this spring race, I mean, it wasn't really that great. Kyle Larson dominated. What should be expected at Kansas this week?
I think that, Kansas Speedway had a run of races that were just really good, that gave it these really high expectations. And by all means, that's entirely possible, but it's kind of come back down to earth a little bit, where you get a more classic mile and a half race. So in terms of, expectations, I think that that's what you're looking at. You're big three teams left in the playoffs. I think it'll be a Hendrick and Gibbs battle. I think we've seen that in the past there. 23-11 will be fast there as well. But then, Ross Chastain, kind of the lone 2311, I know they're their own team, but you kind of lump them in with the Gibbs cars a little bit. Where, with Trackhouse, you don't really lump them in with Hendrick. They're kind of their own team. We've seen Ross Chastain be fast at Kansas, won the playoff race, well, not in the playoffs a year ago, so they could be fast. I think that the key with Kansas is, of the 12 cars remaining, there's an argument that maybe, other than the Fords, the nine there's nine cars that probably can show up and win, and maybe the Fords can surprise us. So I think for Kansas, it's a straightforward race, but we don't quite know who is going to create that straightforwardness. We don't know if it's going to be Hendrick. We don't know if it's going to be Gibbs. I don't think we get anything, wild and crazy, like, 2 or 3 years ago, but it's a straightforward race. We'll just have to see who shows up with the speed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think of the 12 drivers, the Penske guys would maybe be the ones I would say least likely to win, just because that's not been a track historically they've been great at. When it comes to picks this week, last week I took Chase Briscoe, you took Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell had the highest finish, so I get a pick first. Everything in me is saying Kyle Larson, but I'm gonna go his teammate William Byron. You mentioned he had a good run last week. Has had speed there. Like, he kind of gets overlooked how good he's been there because he hasn't won. He hasn't had great finishes, but he's had like a top five car, I feel like, every Kansas race. I'm going to take William Byron. I've given you Kyle Larson, or pick your Toyota driver. Who are you taking at Kansas?
You said it basically right there. Is it's your Toyota driver, one of the six in the playoffs, or Kyle Larson is kind of where you're looking at picks wise. I think, Kyle Larson's been sneaking back up in speed, has had some solid runs. I'm gonna go the five of Kyle Larson. I think it's him, Byron, or one of the six Toyotas, but give me Kyle Larson.
Looking forward to it. Another fun weekend coming up at Kansas Speedway. We're both riding the Hendrick camp. Jacob taking Kyle Larson. I'm taking William Byron. We'll be back next week to recap that and take a look ahead to the Roval. You've been listening to Turn Left Thursday, and upon further review, more UFR on the way next.